listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello everyone, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 8th of August 2021, good evening. And how is everybody feeling? We're actually in the actual Lions Gate at the moment. Today is the peak of the Lions Gate. It's been going on for the last few days coming in and it's going to carry on with the next few days. But this is the actual pinnacle of the Lions Gate. So, have you been feeling a bit tired, a bit kind of sad, a bit euphoric and then sad again, not sleeping right, aches and pains maybe, things like that? All these things are kind of related to the Lion's Gate, and this is what's going on. It's an energy shift. We're shifting energy again and moving on, hopefully to a higher frequency on a higher plane. Loads of changes going on, so I'm sure we probably talk to Richard about that in a few minutes time. As advertised, my guest on the show is Richard Cumberts, and this is part two with Richard. Richard was on a few weeks ago and we had great feedback from everybody in the chat room. They said, oh, do a part two with Richard, and I said, great, Richard, would you like to do a part two? And Richard said, of course, no problem at all. So we're doing a part two tonight and we're going to be talking about everything and anything, mainly what's going on obviously globally and the things that are going on that's affecting us all, and you know what they are. But before we get into that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046 927 1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, so you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, patreon.com/COWLR, PayPal on the website. We have t-shirts. If you want a t-shirt, email me at contactus@circleofwhitelight.com, and got 10 euros plus postage and packing. And the t-shirts are going, so if you want one, obviously send over an email. And you look fantastic when you're wearing the t-shirt, the white t-shirt with Circle White Light. It looks fantastic. And everybody will be coming up to you and asking you, you know, what that's all about. So that's the whole idea there. So if you want to get one, as I say, send me an email. Thanks to everybody who donates. It really is much appreciated. The PIF team are working hard this month. We're going to be talking on Wednesday about the allocation donation for this month. And I've asked the Paid Forward team, the PIF team, to look for a local charity or community group that will benefit from the donation. And as soon as we have that sorted, obviously we will be posting that up on the website and on Facebook to let you know where the donation is going to. Right, okay, just a couple of things as usual before we get the guest on. Dr. Marcus de Bron. Now, Dr. Marcus de Bron is an Irish doctor and he's been very outspoken with what's going on, which is fantastic. And he said that loads of evidence that safe drugs, ivermectin, HQL or budesonide, can treat COVID. Why are they not included in any official public health guidelines? Because emergency licensing for the vaccine is contingent upon there being no other treatments available. It's called corruption. So the whole idea is, this is an emergency vaccine. It hasn't been approved by the FDA. That's my understanding. And because it's an emergency vaccine, if there's no other drugs in the market, then that's what they use. So it's in their interest not to actually advertise any alternative treatments like ivermectin or HQL, because they can push the vaccine or the experimental drug, because we know it's not a vaccine under the definition of a vaccine. So and it's called corruption. OK, now also just on that note, I don't know whether you've seen it, but Ben Gilroy actually did a little video and he was talking about a €250,000 payment to the HSE over here. And the question is, why is a pharmaceutical company giving the HSE 250,000 euros? Surely, you know, if they're a government body, they should be giving out the money, not receiving money from a pharmaceutical company. So that's a question, not a statement, just to clarify that. Why are they doing that? And the other thing here is the irony of this, by the way. It says here that the Canadian Museum for Human Rights will reopen to fully vaccinated visitors on Tuesday, July the 27th, right? Do you get the irony, right? The Canadian Museum for Human Rights will reopen to fully vaccinated visitors on Tuesday, July 27th. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, whoever had the balls to actually write that, you know, unbelievable. Fair play to them. Right, okay. My week. Right, independent.ie, just something I came across during the week, which might be of interest to some people, because we talk about the banks, some of the vulture funds pulling out of Ireland, and obviously the banks seem to be doing it as well. In the independent.ie, it says, are you an Ulster Bank or KBC customer? This is what you need to know. With the two banks exiting the market, customers will have some important decisions to make. Ulster Bank's cautiously released Memorandum of Understanding between parent NatWest and Permanent TSB proposes the sale of certain customer blocks to the Irish Bank currently in majority ownership of the state. PTSB, to the taxpayers' relief, will be, all going well, buying predominantly with shares rather than tapping us for more cash, but is cherry-picking, not unreasonably, the bits of the business it wants. Obviously, they would do that. Performing profitable loans, business and domestic, around a third of the branches and up to 500 staff, so more unemployment going out there. It has made separate arrangements with AIB as the carve-up continues. Conspicuous by their absence are tracker mortgages being hived off to strategic banking counterparts, which may well be the new cuddly term for vulture funds, and current accounts. So if you're with Ulster Bank or Permanent TSB, I'd be looking to be moving your bank account. Maybe be worthwhile doing that. Well, check it out anyway and see what you think, okay? Okay, the other thing is I popped along on Friday evening. Irish comedian Aidan Killian was hosting his last show of the 32 counties in Fore Abbey in Fore in County Westmeath. And that was on Friday evening. And I went down on Friday, and Steve was there as well from my co-host on OIM. So I met Steve down there. We had a quick chat. And it was great. I mean, the weather wasn't brilliant, but we had a bit of a overhang. There was a bit of an overhang that we were sitting under, so you weren't getting too wet, which is okay. But there was a good turnout. Fair play to Aidan. It was a free gig, just a donation for the gig. And he did great. He did a great job, and he talked about what was going on, and it was all funny and having a laugh. That was the whole idea. And then, obviously, his granny passed away there, and he was telling us stories about his granny as well. So it was a good night, and we had music there. Musicians were there, and there was sword fencing there as well. So if you missed it, you missed out on a good gig, and for very entertaining. So it was a good night. It's just a pity the weather was the way it was. But, you know, I mean, we got over it anyway. It wasn't too bad, you know. So a good evening was had by all. And as I said, the Lions Gate today, you know, people are saying they're not feeling that well. You might have headaches. You might have, you might feel lethargic. You might feel tired. Happy one minute, sad another minute. Headaches, sleepy, probably not sleeping at all. These are all kind of symptoms of the Lions Gate. So if that's going on, then that's, you know, you're picking up on the energy changes there. Right. OK, so let's get my guest on. Richard, he's a motivational speaker, trainer and health practitioner. Richard lived in Middle East from the age of 13 and worked there and in Asia before returning to the UK. Complementary medicine was the norm in those days and part of the world, and belief systems and outlooks were very different from the allopathic drug culture of the West. Richard had some bizarre insights into quantum mechanics, as the seemingly impossible happened every day in a crazy progression, as black gold drove an ancient society from camels to helicopters in 2 days. An early career in information technology, working mainly with communication systems, led him to ponder the informational processes within the human body and hence his interest in energetic medicine. Richard has travelled widely, attending conferences, seminars and workshops, learning from many of the leading authorities on energy medicine, natural health and new science that fuse together biology, physics and chemistry. Rosalian concepts finally brings understanding to the teachings of spiritual masters through the ages. Richard is the CEO of Pain Genie and 21st Century Energy Medicine, dedicated to giving choice and accelerated healing to their clients. He has been teaching the simplicity of health for the last 10 years, running training courses and seminars in the UK and Europe. Good evening, Richard. How are you doing?
Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for coming on for part two. We'll get into the subject matter and we'll get into what's going on. Before we do, how are you feeling with the Lionsgate? Any ups and downs or anything going on your end?
Well, funny enough, I did actually. I couldn't sleep last night till about 3 o'clock, 3:30. And then I just got into my healing blanket and went to sleep straight away. So I should have realised that earlier on and just got in the healing blanket at 12 o'clock. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people, you know, going through quite a lot, and the cosmology and astrology is certainly, you know, pretty vital for people to have some understanding of, because that's exactly where we are now. And you know, when you look at the ancient Vedas, which were written many thousands of years ago, they describe these days as the end days. And I think, if I'm right, and a day was sort of 3 years. And they pointed out also that in the end days, you wouldn't know truth from falsehood. And of course, that I think is exactly what was playing out with the mainstream so-called media. And we're in for a heck of a ride. But I think at the same time, it's certainly going to jangle everybody up. I mean, just the fear-based stuff that's been going on, different countries. You know, we chatted before, you know, you went live, about what's happening in France, what's happening in Australia, you know, what's happening in Indonesia, you know, Jabo jail over there. So I think it's getting super interesting. And as long as we can, you know, maintain a good, strong, positive outlook, we'll get through it.
Yeah, I think we will. Myself and Steve had a quick chat on Friday, and we just reminded ourselves going back to interviews that we did on OEM, going back a few years ago, that we knew that something was coming down the line, and we knew that there had to be something that affected everybody. That had to be the catalyst. Something had to affect everybody for that change to take place. Now, we didn't know what it was, but this, I think this is it. This is it, because this is waking up a lot of people. The concern is, you know, I'm going to be mentioning Costa Coffee, because I went down to Navan and to meet somebody to have a coffee down there and have a chat. And I joined the queue and I spoke to the girl behind the counter. And I said, look, I want to get a coffee and have a sit down. And she said, you're going to need your COVID passport. You know, and I said, she said, look, I can sell you a coffee, but you can't sit down. And I said, well, that means you'll take my money, but you won't let me sit down on the chairs. And I said, well, no, I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, look, I know you're only doing your job, but tell your boss, we're going to do a bit of advertising on my radio show on Sunday, but it's not going to be the nice kind of advertising. So I put up on Facebook just to let people know what happened. And I said, boycott Costa Coffee. And that means Navan or any other Costa Coffee, because they obviously believe in medical apartheid with these vaccine passports. But my point I was going to make was there was people in the coffee, in Costa Coffee, sitting down having a coffee with no masks on. So they obviously had their COVID passport done. And there are people who are still asleep, who just kind of go, oh yeah, I'll get the jab, and they got the jab and they got the vaccine passport, and to them it's no big deal, it's this is it. So they need, them people still need an awakening, because they're still not getting it. And I think that awakening might be, and I'm sad to say, it could be when this experimental drug starts doing its thing with the spike protein and starts making them sick and ill within the next six months to a year, which is what's being said by a number of doctors. So I don't know, what's your take on that whole process with the spike protein? Have you looked at that? Because I did do, I put an article up there during the week. It was a mixture of my comments and information from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's been on the show, regarding the spike protein and what's going to happen and how dangerous it is. So what's your take on that, Richard?
Yeah, well, I've been following this, obviously, very closely. And looking at the work of an awful lot of people who never get onto RTE or BBC or into any mainstream newspaper. I mean, it does seem that obviously, you know, with things like CRISPR, where you can modify genetic material, and CRISPR, if anyone in the audience hasn't heard of it, do check it out. CRISPR is a way of actually modifying genes and injecting. So we had lots of things happening where you had, they put in genes from fireflies into tomatoes and crazy things. So tomatoes shone in the dark and, you know, so there's a whole lot of stuff they were doing. But, yeah, I mean, if you or I, Alan, were planning, you know, a massive cull or a big change, we'd certainly cover all avenues, and we wouldn't be stupid enough to make sure every batch of, you know, so-called vaccine or jab therapy, gene therapy, was the same. So naturally, you could these spike proteins, you can modify the jabs to do a whole range of different things. But that's, I think, you've got to look at the way that's been coming about over the last 50 years. And one thing I was going to mention is about, which crossed my mind earlier on, was about iron, for example. But what we know at the moment, or think that we know, is that just recent autopsies being done on people who allegedly died of COVID-19 found that every single cell had spike protein in it. So that means that every single cell is reacting to a particular allergen or pathology. And so I think you could look here about this, as it goes back to Beauchamp and Pasteur, you know, germ theory versus terrain.
Yeah.
And so what Pasteur said, and he said he proved, was that you catch germs effectively. Mm-hmm. And of course, recently in the last 10 years, we know he lied. He fixed every trial, and his diaries prove that. So Pasteur was a complete crook. And based on that, he has led the entire planet, with the help of obviously the people who put him up there in the first place, down a road where health is by magic bullet, by a so-called drug with LD50 ratings of how much will kill, you know, 50% of the population, and all these mad things. So Pasteur has an awful lot to answer for as he turns in his grave, so to speak. But Beauchamp looked at the idea of terrain, and effectively terrain, we could look at things like field theory. So getting away from the atomics, like, you know, we've been told that, you know, there's things like neutrons and protons and electrons, and there's a periodic table, you know, hydrogen being number one and 112 other elements, and we keep on adding them. We've got CERN looking for the God particle, because basically that's all kind of atomic theory. It's not field theory. And so if you look at field theory, the closer you are to, say, a Wi-Fi source, the better signal you get. Yeah. If someone's talking to you like I'm talking to you now, okay, I'm talking to you over Skype. But if I was talking to you in the open, the further I move away from you, the less you can hear me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's an informational field, and we know there's a vibrational field. So, you know, if you're in a house, you've got a cup of tea and someone's got a big bass speaker next door, you might see your coffee kind of vibrate in the cup, but you can't really hear much. But when we get into radiation or strong fields, they're millions of times more powerful than vibrations. And we all know, you know, going into a house, you know, there's good vibes and bad vibes. People just, if they trust their gut, they suddenly know that something's not quite right, or they don't feel comfortable, or they want to move, you know. So this is a well-known phenomenon. And then we have something called entrainment. And entrainment is where people naturally entrain with each other. The typical example is, you know, you put 10, 15, 20 women in a house, and within a period of time, you know, they will start menstruating at the same time. So that's entrainment. So naturally, if you're close to a strong field of something, there's more likely you're going to entrain to it than if you're a long way away. But likewise, if that thing's also radiating, or there is a type of radiation field coming out, then that also explains things like radionics, you know, action at a distance, entanglement, superposition, non-locality, all the buzzwords of quantum physics. And so when we look at things like spike proteins in these jabs, what we do know is that these spike proteins seem to be massively affecting the cardiovascular system, because people are bleeding, people are blood clotting. Women who have gone through menopause begin to apparently bleed again. You know, people have come into contact. I heard a story the other day of a guy in the States, again, several stories now, again, was with a girl having a good weekend, just met her. She'd had two jabs, he'd had nothing. And a couple of days later, on his top of his forelegs, there was bruising. And he, as he said, they didn't get in. There was no reason for bruising apart from the fact that he'd obviously had relations with that woman. So we know that the physical can be transferred by sexual contact or by sex, you know, or by blood. But what we know, these spike proteins, you know, apparently they a lot of people call it shedding. But they're traveling, aren't they? Somehow they're getting from, they're affecting people who haven't had the vax or the we must call it gene therapy jab.
We call it a jab because it's not a vax. I mean, Dr. Sherry calls it transmission.
Transmission is a good word because it covers a lot of bases. But let's just say that when we looked at the flu vaccine or things with the flu vaccine since 2018, 2019, we found they were putting graphene oxide in the flu vaccine from those days. And then more and more people were seemed to coming down with what was called XMRV virus. And they had not actually had the flu vaccine, but had been in close proximity or been with a loved one who had actually had the flu vaccine. And somehow they were getting really quite ill just by the fact that they either shared bodily fluids or blood or being close to that person. So obviously I've gone off a slight tangent to do this spike protein, but I'm just trying to give some background to what maybe or what probably is happening. So this spike protein seems to cause a lot of problem with blood cells, cardiovascular, capillaries, veins, you name it. And also we're seeing an awful lot of youngsters who've had the jab or come into very close contact, suddenly getting myocarditis, you know, inflammation of the heart, which is incredible. You know, that age group would be mad. It's just incredibly rare. So we know that it's having a major effect on the circulation system. So again, in those jabs, there are lots of things. I mean, there's things derived from human aborted fetuses, monkeys' kidneys. I mean, you know, what could possibly go wrong anyhow? The issue is that, you see, when enough people have it and say, oh, I've had it, I'm fine, you know, it's a load of rubbish, they just conveniently forget the millions and millions who have got seriously ill, or in fact, now we're seeing an awful lot of people have died, but it's not being reported.
Yeah.
So it's very glib or very easy for someone to say, oh, it's just conspiracy theory, mate, you're off your head, I've had it, I'm fine, you know. But what we do seem to know is that when we look at the actual figures, it backs up the fact that this is this particular jab has had more serious side effects and deaths than just about every single so-called vaccine ever produced.
Well, this is the funny thing. When they roll out certain drugs or vaccines and there's a certain amount of damage by it, they shut it down and go, okay, that's it, we're not going to roll it out, this is causing too much trouble. And this has damaged so many more people as an individual experimental drug than any other vaccines in total in the past. And yet they're still pushing it out, which is a concern for me. Now, the spike protein and the effects that's going to have, I mean, it was kind of explained to me that imagine this, they thought the spike protein would stay where the injection area was and that it wouldn't go around the body, but it does go around the body. And then it's going to attack cells in certain organ parts. And it'll start shedding them, and then the body's immune system will go and attack it, thinking it's a foreign body, and then that's where you get your autoimmune, and then the body's going to be in having, you know, fighting itself, destroying itself. And of course, people who've got it and said, well, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm okay. But Steve just reminded me on the chat room there that some of these people received a placebo. And it makes sense to me that they would do that. It'd probably just saline or water or something. And they'll go, well, all them people are fine. That person's fine. But psychologically, that would make sense. Send out a number of, obviously, the experimental drug, but make a percentage of them placebos. So people can turn around and go, well, I got the vaccine and I'm okay. But they were placebos. But they would still get their... Because they wouldn't know that it's a placebo, they would still get their vaccine passport thinking that, you know, that they were okay. But here's the crux of the matter as well. People who aren't in IT kind of maybe don't understand how the antivirus industry started off and how it all worked. But the whole idea is that once you get on the ladder of getting vaccines, you can't get off it. That's the whole idea, because your passport will only be up to date when you have the latest vaccine. And this is exactly the principle with antivirus software. As you know, Richard, you're in technology, you are in technology, that you have to keep getting updates of your antivirus software because the new virus might come out and it might hit your computer. And when you get on that ladder, it's very, very hard to get off. And I think this is what they're hoping, that people will, even if they don't, Even if they get the placebo at the start, down the line, the booster updates will be the actual experimental drug. And obviously, that will in turn have an effect on the people.
You know, I think it's a slippery slope. So, I mean, I think the problem being is that for a lot of people who are not obviously totally into health and quite naturally would go up believing that their GP or their doctor or their health organization of their own country would never try and pull the wool over their eyes. It's a very difficult one. So, you know, both of us are not criticizing anyone who believes something different. It's just about giving them a choice to look at the real information. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, once you've got that vaccine passport, it'll be digitized. And then, of course, it'll be that, you know, if you've got children and they haven't had it, your passport will be cancelled. And, you know, if you don't get the booster, and you'll have a new kind of you'll have a Bangladesh variant and a Delta variant and a bloody table variant and a million variants, which are only 0.003% different from the actual thing anyhow. In other words, most of these variants are just damage and things caused by people who've actually had the jab. And so, you know, but to go back to this, you know, the spike protein, I'll give you a few examples here, because, I mean, I think this is kind of important. We're finding more and more people coming into closer and closer contact with people who've had one or two jabs, especially if they've come into contact with somebody within sort of 4 to 7 weeks. So this spike protein obviously is getting into every cell and is then causing a reaction in every cell rather than just naturally how you might inhale something through the lungs and the trachea, and, you know, in that way. So you're getting a massive body response rather than a very targeted response, which is the way you normally have it. But the graphene oxide is positively charged, and there's also an oxidatory thing, which is obviously something that is going to oxidize the cells in your body. Now, that's a pretty bad thing, because, you know, if we just go back to looking at some of the basics of where we are with weaponized food. And actually a very interesting concept here, again, somebody I know has pointed out that our soul would appear to be magnetic and negatively charged. And so if we're putting in things like graphene oxide, which is effectively a toxin, which is oxidized and positively charged, and is also very paramagnetic, you know, a lot of people saying, you know, I've had this and I just don't seem to, I don't seem to think anymore the way I did before. I don't seem to be, it's almost like not being human. Now, there are a lot of reports of this. And so if perhaps you were more spiritual to start with or more connected left and right brain, and then you had obviously one of the jabs that was, you know, obviously had these things in it as opposed to a placebo, then you could very easily start talking about those kind of symptoms. But being paramagnetic, also that means that we're getting people all over the place saying, you know, I've got spoons sticking to me and metal sticking to me. And there's thousands of those now, and I've seen that myself. And I've heard people who say that, you know, after the jab, things would stick to their body, even with magnets, sometimes pulling the skin off. Now, that's not a good thing, especially when it travels. But if you look at that as an antenna, so in other words, to broadcast an electromagnetic signal, it would make sense why if you had more of these metal type things in the body, especially things like graphene oxide, you could turn the body into an antenna. And that means that the closer you are to that antenna, the stronger the signal, yeah, the stronger the field, yeah?
Yeah, no, totally. And this is that's the worrying part. 5G is also a concern coming down the line.
Oh, totally. And if you just go back to, you know, thinking about what's already happening with heavy metals or metals in the body. So, you know, because we know that graphene oxide has been put in the flu jabs, and then we've had people getting other viral complaints, if you like, trying to detox when they haven't even had it, when they come into contact with people with the flu so-called vaccine. So if you go back and look at just the weaponization of food, for example, I mean, most people know that tuna's got high levels of mercury in it. And I find it not hilarious, just sad that, you know, women are going, oh, well, what's in my food? What's in my tuna? Is there too much, mercury in it? I won't have it. And then they just get stuffed a jab full of complete crap into their arm without checking anything about it. And they don't even sign forms to say they're on a 2-year trial, which they should have been. But back in 1941, the earliest I can trace it back, they started supplementing our food, would you believe it, I think it was America, France, UK, and a few other countries, with iron. Now, you know, iron, if you think about it, we need lots of different minerals and things, and a tiny amount of these metals like fluoride and everything else, which are naturally, well, that's okay if they're naturally occurring. But if we just break it down and make it simple, what is longevity about? Why do we not get beyond our 3-score year in 10, perhaps? Well, if we've got heavy metals, especially iron, in the body, that will oxidize. Now, if you leave a bit of iron outside in your garden, everyone knows that if you go back in 6 months or 3 months or a year or two, it's going to be rusty. You know, it gets oxygen in the atmosphere, and it oxidizes and it rusts, and eventually that will just break to pieces and fall apart. Doesn't matter how strong the iron bar was or the swing, yeah? So everyone knows that. Well, they started supplementing our food with even more than 1 milligram of iron every day since 1941. Then in 1969, they increased that by 50%. Now, they wanted to increase it in 1969 by 300%, the amount of iron they're putting into our food, obviously just to protect us, Alan, obviously. You know.
Of course,
Of course. And a load of scientists got together and said, this is total madness, you'll kill everybody. And they went to meet the powers that be that do these things. I can't remember the name of the body. And they persuaded them not to do it. So rather than increase it 300%, they just increased it 50%. How good of them.
Even when
they were told how bad it was going to be.
Okay, can I just interject there? Just while I remember this, I remember seeing a guy do an experiment with a certain brand of cereal. It's like cornflakes, a certain brand. And he actually used a magnet to manipulate the cornflakes because the level of iron that was in the cornflakes was enough for the magnet to manipulate the cornflakes.
Yeah, and exactly. And I remember seeing that too when it came out, and that got me on that path of checking it out. Mm-hmm. But they were putting things like iron filings into the things. I mean, just in other words, the most 9 types of common iron they put into food are all carcinogenic, and they know that. But but this is the real thing. Most people, for eating, you know, a generalized diet, will pick up 1 milligram of iron every day from their food. Mm. I mean, that's kind of a minimum. Now, the top levels really should be about, you know, the total iron for a woman should be about 4,000 milligrams, and total for a man should be around about 5,000. Well, all you've got to do, Alan, is take your age, and multiply it by 365 to get how many milligrams of iron are going to be in your body if you've had a general diet. Mm. And straight away, you'll see that, you know, if you're over about 15 years old, you're already got massive amounts of extra iron. Mm. Now, it's also well known that this extra iron oxidizes in the body, and what could possibly go wrong with that? Well, that's called aging. That's called internal rusting. And the iron in the body is a disaster. But guess where the iron goes? It goes especially and affects the heart, the kidneys, and the cardiovascular system. Mm. And then we have, so you've got these massive amounts of iron, plus, of course, you've got, you know, the mercury and the tungsten in the we found in the vaccine, in the jabs, and all the other irons and the aluminium. Well, that gets in, and that naturally, that's right behind something called atherosclerosis. And atherosclerosis is the disease that they call the silent killer. It's because effectively what happens is you've probably got, I don't know, 5 or 10 meters of arteries in the body, probably less than that, main arteries, you know, big arteries. But you've got about 50 to 70,000 miles of capillaries and small veins in the body. That's your real cardiovascular system. And that actually gets, by a hydrophilic process where it powers up the blood, which is only water, it pushes the blood back to the heart, and the heart's really a dam, not a pump, but that's another story. So if that's working okay, you've got good circulation, you've got good heart activity, but the iron especially causes atherosclerosis. It causes furring of the arteries and the 60,000 miles of capillaries and blood vessels and veins that are tiny. So you imagine all that iron in, and then imagine you get hit with something like graphene oxide and a spike protein that seems to be affecting all those areas that are already damaged for most people. And the reason they call it the silent killer is that most people will not know enough about it until it gets to a very serious state. So I think that this is a massive component of what's happening with this thing with the so-called jab. It's just an extra toxicity that's now exacerbating something that's already there and is already causing massive problems. And what this stems from, and there is a massive amount of research on this. I mean, I've looked at quite a bit of it. But effectively, if we don't get enough copper in our diet, then the body stores more and more iron out of the blood into tissues and into different areas. So often when people seem to be anemic, it can be just the fact that they're low on copper. And as the copper increases, the body pulls more iron out of the tissues and back into the blood, where you've got hemoglobin and those processes. So if you're low in iron, low on copper, typically then you will build up more and more iron into tissues rather than being in the places that perhaps it should be. As you get more and more iron, the inflammation that causes and the damage. And remember, this is just without any 3G, 4G, 5G, Alan. This is without any broad service into the body. So as that happens, the body uses huge amounts more of magnesium, and your magnesium levels drop. Well, what could possibly go wrong with that? Well, calcium makes arteries and veins contract, and magnesium makes them expand. So as we're losing more and more magnesium, well, what's happening with that? Well, your blood pressure is going through the roof because you've got more and more calcium, calcification, and that's causing massive compression of all those things to do with blood, and therefore your blood pressure goes up, your kidneys start failing because kidneys govern blood pressure in Chinese medicine. And that means that calcium becomes a problem because the calcium magnesium balance is, you know, it's a balance. So you've got less magnesium, you've got more calcium or more problems with calcium. And it's fairly well known that a person of 30 compared to a person of 90 with this situation, person 90 has 30 times more calcium in the body, or problems with calcium. Now think about calcium, calcification. Yeah, you get frozen shoulder, all these joints, you get all these problems with itises and inflammatory conditions and degradation of cells. So I think that this, you know, this whole process of miseducation, if doctors or health people were actually understood some of the processes, they would put this together a lot quicker. Now, I know loads of people are putting this together, but this is just yet another issue that makes it quite complicated unless we try and make it simple for people to really get it. So I think that's what's happening with this metal, the transmission, or nearer you are, the higher the radiation. Therefore, you naturally, if the terrain of your body is weak or more susceptible, you will entrain to these spike proteins, which will then manifest, you know, in the blood. It's called pleomorphism. And if you've got a dark field microscope, you can look at the blood and you can see if a woman's pregnant, you'll see a holographic image of the fetus in there. You'll see things in the blood that, you know, are a hologram of the entire body. So I think that's where this, you know, more of this transmission idea is coming. And this is, I think, the one of the big issues. You know, you've got Dr. Kaufman, you've got Dr. Cowan, you've got Dr. Tenpenny, you've got Dr. Dietrich Klinghart. You've got all these amazing people, and quite a few of them can't quite agree, you know, whether is it part germ theory, is it mainly terrain? Nikola Tesla had it, didn't he? He yeah. said that if they looked at energy, vibration, and frequency, because we're all vibrating, after all, you have 75 trillion cells in the body. Each cell has trillions and trillions of atoms, and an atom is 99.9999% space. Then we're not really here in the way. And Einstein said it. He said, look, you know, reality is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. So we've got to look at the field theory, I think.
Well, before you do that,
Tesla, Russell.
Well, before you do that, because you covered an awful lot there, and we have to go through them bit by bit, because I want to break some of this down. Now, the whole idea of the vaccines, one of the things that you mentioned there was obviously talking about the different vaccines and the way that they're probably having an effect on our body. Now, GCMAF, as we know from David and Lynn, was there to actually cure cancer. And they were saying that, I think David came on the show and he said, there's something in the vaccines over the years that actually takes out something in our body that fights cancer. And GCMAF puts it back in. Now, I had Scott Tipps on the show there a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about David and Lynn. But I know that you also have been involved with David and Lynn as well and what's going on there. Now, I want to talk about that with you. And also, there's a couple of other things that I want to break down what you said. So if you want to kick off with GCMAF, and I forget the name of the chemical or the item that the vaccines switch off in their body to stop the cancer fighting part of it, and GCMAF puts it back in. I forget the name of it now. If anybody in the chat room remembers it.
Nagalase,
that's it, Nagalase. It switches off that. And the vaccines have been doing that, and GCMAF actually switches it back on. Now, you've been actually dealing with David and Lynn as well. Do you want to give us an update on them as well? And there's other stuff that I want to get into as well on stuff that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I did actually hear your interview with Scott. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What was interesting was, I think it was just before Christmas 2018. And, I mean, both Lynn and David are very good friends of mine. I originally was going out to Guernsey to help them set up, you know, clinics just for being more effective with energy medicine and to learn about their, you know, GCMAF and Galaic products and what they were doing and how they were doing it. So I you know, met most of their staff and went out there 5, 6, 7 times, and they became good friends. But when David was originally locked up, I think in Wandsworth, and then was illegally deported to France and put in a prison in France, where he is still at the moment. And Lynn was then locked up in the same prison. I think it's Fleury-Mélisse prison south of Paris. Apparently, or allegedly, it's one of the worst prisons in Europe. And she survived. And back in, I think it was just before Christmas 2018, she was released and was supposed to be coming back to the UK. So I went down with my partner, Victoria, to pick her up and bring her back to the UK. But once we got to Paris, we found that then she was told she had to go back to court in 3 or 4 days' time, then she shouldn't leave the country. And when I got to her, she was suffering from atrial fibrillation. She had a heart rate of nearly 170 beats a minute. And it was just as well we went, because we treated her. And within 3 days, we got the heart rate down to about 106, 108, 110. And that's, you know, can be pretty serious. I mean, you can easily, that can easily be the end of you, that. And we ended up staying in Paris for 10 days, treating her and moving from hotel to hotel, in the middle of a massive riot, because then the French were already protesting. they were testing. They had big slogans like Frexit, you know, like Brexit, but for the French. There was riots going on. That things were open, but there was fire engines and police, and the gendarmes were on the side of the people. So we saw firsthand what was happening in with the French, and thank God for the French, because they seem to be the only people really getting stuck in and saying, we're not having this segregation, apartheid, you know, medical mafia being dictated to by government. But during that time, then Lynn went back to prison, again, totally illegally, as far as we could tell. And we did have some interesting times in Paris, trying to get out of Paris. And also, you know, some of our interactions, obviously, with Scott over there at the same time. But luckily, Lynn's now out. I spoke to her 3 or 4 days ago. She's in a much better frame of mind. She's in the UK now and doing better. I should be seeing her soon. David is still in that prison. He had a court meeting on August the 3rd. And I'm still waiting to find out whether, based on that, he'd be released from the prison and allowed to at least stay in a residence in France. Because I think he's got another 18 months or 2 years of his supposed sentence to serve. But I also know he's not in the best of health either. And I did talk to his brother about a week ago. So I keep in touch. And he says he speaks to him every day. And he, you know, obviously he's in as good a spirits as you could expect him to be in, considering he's locked in his cell for 22 to 23 hours a day.
That's just—it's just madness, isn't it? Madness. Well, I wish the best for David and Lane, and hopefully things get sorted there. And it's good to get kind of an update on what's going on as well with them. And it's great to hear that Lane is actually back in the UK. I met David when I went down and did the Pain Genie training with you down. I think it was Clare, County Clare, when you did it there. And David was great, big supporter of OAM. Got a T-shirt and everything. Fair play to him. So I do wish him the best. I've got a couple of other questions here based on what you said as well. One of the things you were talking about was the iron in the body and what was going on. Now, something in the back of my head is telling me that it's worse for men than women, because women menstruate obviously every month. They kind of flush their system, where the men don't have that facility. So the whole iron thing would be more toxic to the men than the women, because they have a natural flushing system once a month. Does that make sense? Am I barking up the wrong tree, or am I right on that?
Yeah, no, I think you're bang on, Alan. Bang on. And you know, most women, that's why. It was that way. Obviously, now with the craziness that's going on, I mean, women are falling under the same cosh as the men. But typically, up until menopause, where, you know, women are menstruating and losing some of that blood, they were then getting rid of quite a bit of the iron, which was in the blood, which was a very good safety valve. And it's been shown that people, funny enough, who, especially men who donate blood 2 or 3 times a year, are actually probably much better off, because they're getting rid of a pint of blood with all the, in other words, that's being then replenished by the body, and they're getting rid of some of the iron. So that's exactly, you're exactly right with that. Totally right.
Okay. Now, a couple of questions for you. The first one is, have you seen anyone, like, did you go and attend, or did you go and visit them, who have been damaged by the actual experimental drug? And have people approached you and said, Richard, I've got the vaccine, I'm sorry now, I got it, can you help me get rid of it or reduce the symptoms and the issues or remove it from their body? Have they been in touch with you regarding that?
Yeah, an increasing amount, an increasing number of them, absolutely. And an increasing number of people who are in a family where, you know, they know that their, say, mother or brother or sister or father were perfectly okay until they had it. And now that, but they don't want to admit that it's that what's made them ill. I mean, they think, oh, I just got ill, or, but their other family member who obviously has not gone for it and is aware. And so I'm getting far more people like that contacting me about other members of their family, but also an increasing number of people who have had. I mean, it does seem, from what I've heard and found from other people, that the second jab obviously is more toxic than the first one. And but I had met so many people, Alan. I mean, so many people And the stories I've heard, you know, about especially the second jab. Okay, I was having a cup of coffee in Norwich about 4 weeks ago, and I was talking to this. I can't remember I mentioned on the previous show there, but I met this woman who was probably 75, 78. I've met so many people, but she was talking about when she had the first jab, she had all these autoimmune problems, and the GP said, oh, she should have it because of the autoimmune problems. She then said she had a massive reaction. She was in and out of hospital for about 2 weeks, and then about so really was not well. And then about 2 months later, she thought, well, should I have the second jab? So she goes to see her GP, bearing in mind she's gone through all that trauma of the first one. She said, oh, yes, it's definitely you. I think you definitely need it. She has it. And then she is really ill. She's in hospital for like 2 weeks. And what struck me was the it's like the lack of clarity of thought. And I said to her, I said, you know, after all that problem you had with the first one, and you went and had the second one. She said, oh, because my doctor said. But I said, didn't you want to override your doctor? Didn't you want to force the fact that you can tell him that what had happened to you? And so I'm hearing this more and more. And that also, I think, means that even the people who've had it, a lot of them now are going, oh, you know, I just wish I hadn't had that. And what can I do about it? But there are also the ones who wanted probably to go for the vaccine passports. And they're already finding out that they definitely wouldn't have another one, they've told me. And so that means that straight away their passport will be invalid because, as you rightly pointed out, if you don't keep this up to date, you know, your passport will be defunct, yeah?
Yeah, totally, totally. And, you know, I'm seeing more, especially on TikTok, there was a big thing I seen earlier on today where everybody was saying that they need to, the medical system needs to treat them for the symptoms that they've had from the jab. And there's a whole number of people saying it. And I know they're covering up the figures. I think the figures I've seen during the week was in America, they're saying 11,000 people have died because of the vaccine or the jab, when it's more like 45,000. And they're covering it up all across the board. In other countries, they're covering up as well. So it's a major concern. There's something that you said earlier on, which is spot on as well, is the fact that people are saying they seem to be disconnected from God or spirit, or they're just not with it. There's a detachment somewhere from their soul.
Yeah, and I think this is maybe the ultimate thing behind this, because you know I think we have to look at this. In other words, we could go back in history and look why. You know, why is this happening? Are we giving birth to a new silicon life form in the form of the internet? And that is now pulling in. I mean, you could look at it like this. If you look at what's happening with antisocial media, I mean, the average length of a sentence on Facebook or Twitter and the rest of it, I think someone told me, is about 6-7 words. So everything is becoming condensed. Yeah. Mm. You put up a nice picture on Facebook or whatever it is, and you get 60 people liking it. You put up something that's got, you know, three sentences and maybe two paragraphs in it, something that's vital, either no one looks at it or they can't be bothered to look at it because it's too much for them. Mm. And so we're condensing. I mean, I've got an exam paper from 1895 for the UK for 14-year-olds. And I remember showing that to the head of the physics department of a big Worthing college. He showed it to other, you know, head of departments. This was about 1995 or 6 or something. And he came back and told me in the pub one evening, he said, I've been told by head of departments, most of the teachers couldn't answer these questions now. So when you see the loss of knowledge, the loss of education, the reprogramming of new generations, I think what we're heading towards is a situation where as people are dumbed down, I mean, by all these factors, not just that, but, you know, iron, GM foods, low energy light bulbs, chemotherapy. I mean, the whole nine yards, Wi-Fi, 3, 4, 5G, the bad education. You're turning people into people who have literally going back to an animal state where they have very little understanding or can't even string proper thought processes together. So whereas if you want to have, say, concept of God or a creator, you have to be able to put something together where you can think of something for more than 5 seconds. You know, you might have to muddle it through for a few minutes or a few hours or maybe even a few days and hold on to a thought and look at it. So I think what's happening is people are being dumbed right down so that they eventually lose complete understanding of God or the Creator. And in that process, what I mentioned about the magnetic soul, I'm going on my research and what I've looked at, but it does seem to ring bells here. The magnetic soul, and it's made negatively charged, and all this positively charged, paramagnetic material. I mean, that's the opposite. So that's kind of cancelling stuff out. And that would make sense to giving birth to a new artificial intelligence, silicon-based life form. I bet you could look at the backbone as the internet, yeah? Which is silicon-based, right? All the wires, it's all silicon, right?
Yeah.
And now they want to incorporate the cells, which are us, because now we're being turned into silicon-based life forms based on heavy metals, AI, nanotechnology, and then the Internet of Things that connects us directly to the net via 5G, 6G, 7, whatever. So I think this it's almost like the destruction of an old life form if we let it, which is, a soul-based,
organic,
caring, empathetic, organic life form into a silicon-based artificial intelligence life form.
And we should be going to crystalline, not even silicon. That's the thing. Yeah. This is what they're saying. We're going from carbon-based life form to crystalline, so that's where we should be going. That's our journey. But going to silicon is the artificial side. No surprise there from the elites. Before I get to the questions, I just want to make a point. I did post up an article there during the week on the Skype. I sent it over to somebody, and I probably should have put it up on my Facebook. But they actually are now looking at putting graphene oxide in the water. Which is now a concern.
Yeah. Basically, what they're looking to do is to put graphene oxide in the filters, because that would stop the filters fouling up with bacteria and things. But naturally, that's going to, I mean, again, what could possibly go wrong with that? You're basically flooding the entire bloody place with toxic things, which are the opposite of what soul-based organic life forms are.
I think we're going to have to go back to a community-based system where we have not tribal, but near enough community-based a well where we can get the water, tap in, get a diviner, and get a well going, and just stay away from any kind of fluoridated water, system, because it's just getting mad now that everything you take, whether it's drink or food, has some kind of content or something that's in it that's not really good for you. So I think we'll have to watch out for that. Okay, I'm going to go off to the...
Just one quick one, actually. I just called something up that I thought might be interesting. And if it's okay with you, I'll just read. It's only a short thing.
Yeah.
But it's from the Hopi Indian chief, White Eagle. And he commented a few days ago his comments on the COVID-19 situation. Shall I just read it quickly?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
It said, he says, this moment that humanity is living through can be considered a door or a hole. The decision to fall into the hole or go through the door is yours. If you consume information 24 hours a day with negative energy, constantly nervous with pessimism, you fall into this hole. But if you take the opportunity to look at yourself, to rethink life and death, to take care of yourself and others, you'll go through the door. Take care of your home, take care of your body. Connect with your spiritual home. When you take care of yourself, you take care of others at the same time. Do not underestimate the spiritual dimension of this crisis. Adopt the perspective of an eagle that sees everything from above with a broader vision. There is a social demand in this crisis, but also a spiritual demand. The two go hand in hand. Without the social dimension, we fall into fanaticism. Without the spiritual dimension, we fall into pessimism and futility. You are prepared to go through this crisis. Grab your toolbox and use all the tools at your disposal. Learn to resist by the example of the Indian and African peoples. We have been and continue to be exterminated. But we never stop singing, dancing, lighting fires, and all this craziness. And then he says, don't feel guilty for feeling lucky in these difficult times. Being sad and without energy doesn't help at all. Resilience is resilience through joy. You have the right to be strong and positive. You have to maintain a beautiful, cheerful, and bright posture. This has nothing to do with alienation or ignorance of the world. is a strategy of resistance. When we walk in the door, we have a new view of the world because we have faced our fears and difficulties. This is what you can do now. Serenity in the storm. Keep calm. Meditate daily. Make a habit of encountering the sacred every day. Demonstrate resilience through art, joy, trust and love. I think that's a great statement from him.
Yeah, no, that's great. You just dropped out a little bit, but we got the information there. Just one or two words dropped out on the link there. But no, that sounds brilliant. That kind of ties in with the whole Bruce Lipton epigenetics, dealing with your mind, and whether you're either positive or negative. You can't be both, and you need to be focusing on that. You need to be focusing on the positive. And what I'm finding there, Richard, I don't know about you, but the people who are kind of outside the matrix and who are aware of this, I mean, I can kind of, like I'm no one special, but I can step back from this and I can see what's going on from a kind of a global point of view, or maybe a divine source point of view, that we have to go through this. Humanity has to go through this. So we'll turn around and say that will never, ever happen again. But we have to go through this experience. Now, for the people who are awake and aware, who are aware of this, then they can take it in their stride and go, okay, we're a bit frustrated, but look, we have to go through it. So keep your energy up and do what needs to be done and everything else. So from the kind of awake and aware point of view, that's great. But for people, as my cup of tea, thank you very much. But for people who are in the matrix and who are panicking, and they're the ones trying to run to the queue to get the jab and everything else, they're the ones who are going to be struggling with this, because their energy will be all wrong, because they're going to be in fear, and they seem to be the people who seem to be having more of an issue than we are. I don't know whether from your point of view, are you seeing that from your point of view?
Yeah, I think so. I think naturally a lot of them just thought, well, it's a pandemic and it'll be gone. We'll be back to normal soon. But of course, I think also that there's an ulterior motive here. I mean, this has been relatively well planned, I'd say. And so the powers that be, they know they can't. They haven't got enough army and police to police the people.
No.
So they deliberately divide and rule, getting the people to police the people. And so you're already seeing. I mean, Michael Gove came out, that absolute plonker came out in British government and said, anyone who doesn't have the vaccine, the jab, is selfish, and it's complete madness, because you've only had to have a tiny bit of logic to apply it and say, well, if you've already got the so-called vaccine, you should be fine. Why try and force anybody else to have it? But of course, what they're doing is they're going now to drive the wedge, and they're going to make all the kind of, especially the people who've had it and think everybody else is an idiot for not having it, the kind of self-righteous, they're going to be going out, being the new sort of local police force, giving people a hard time if they haven't got their passport. So I think this is a natural progression of how they want the situation to plan out to try and achieve their ends. But certainly a lot of these people I have come across, and some are really still very much with it. They could have had a placebo. They may have had the real thing. They may be strong spiritually, mentally. Their terrain may be good. But an awful lot of them they know they're ill. I mean, I talked to a young girl the other day, 28 years old. She had the first jab. She's been in bed for 3 weeks. She's in Berlin. Wow. 3 weeks in bed, and she hasn't got out of bed yet.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, it's I mean, where this goes to, I think, is down just to the people, because I really believe that the people of this planet as a whole, I mean, the real people, because of ignorance, the only sin in hermeticism, ignoring something, because of ignorance and allowing these situations, unfortunately, to manifest, have now really got to deal with it. And so, this is all of us have to deal with it. It doesn't matter whether we've had the jab or not. We're just going to have to find a way through.
Well, I think we are finding a way through. I think, people need to carry on posting on social media, educating people, talking to people and doing stuff, because gradually it's the ripple effect, the 100 monkey principle. And we need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, because I think they will get it in the end. But the one thing that will kind of turn it around, and it's even people who are being jabbed over here and in the UK, now they're going after the children, and they're saying, you know, people are going, look, you know, we can understand going after the adults and giving them the jab, but no way are you going near my kids. And there's a lot of people turning around and that and saying, no way, you're not going to have the kids. You're not going to be jabbing the kids. And they're now saying that between 15 and 17-year-olds, they don't have to ask for permission or their parents' permission. They can go along and get the jab themselves, which is just complete bonkers. I mean, whenever in the history of a medical procedure did they need PR and marketing and free burgers and free Uber and free cinema tickets to push out a jab? I mean, surely logic has to apply.
Yeah, and anybody with any consciousness at all must see this. You know, whether or not, you know, the choice is, okay, you want to have the jab, you've done your research, you believe this, fine. I don't have any problem with that at all. If they think that's the best thing, then they must go and have it, not a problem. And likewise, if I don't think it's a good thing, I have the right. But when people are literally cajoled, forced, segregated, apartheided, are made to look stupid, I mean, you know, this is actually showing you. You see, I think that because of antisocial media and Facebook, LinkedIn and the internet, they have seen through AI, for example, the complete lack of any real protests, for example, about Iraq, WMD, yeah? So weapons of mass destruction, we destroyed four countries, 11 million people killed, 20 million people maimed, 140 million people lost everything, no one gives a shit, yeah?
Yeah.
So they looked at that, they looked at 9/11, and they've gone, these people are so stupid, we'll just do what we like and we'll get away with it. And, you know, to an extent, I mean, when you look at that, you've got to go, well, I've got to agree with you, because what did we do about it? You know, was there any real... You know, people just happy to put on these tenders, you know, buy the crap from, you know, Deathco and Waitrose and all the rest of it, as Clive says. And, you know, we go down the same road. So I think that this is the chance for people to suddenly realize that they have made a mistake, they have ignored something, and they've got a second chance, you know. And if they don't take that second chance, then I think we are in for a really rough ride of it.
No worries. No, I totally agree. We're just going to have to ride the wave. I know it's frustrating with people, you know, at the end of the day, everything that's going on. But we just have to, you know, step back, see what's going on and accept that. This is really not for us, but it's for the people who are asleep, because we don't want to. We thought World War II would be the game changer, and, you know, the whole Nuremberg trials and everything else, no experimentation and stuff like that. And we thought World War II was the catalyst to, you know, not have this happen again. But I suppose at the end of the day, even though we had a war in World War II, there's a lot of countries who weren't involved in it and didn't affect, you know, a certain number of people. They just got on with, you know, one or two things. This is something that will affect everybody in some way or form, because it's the have and the have-nots. Some people have the vax, some people don't have it. And I think this would be the catalyst to hopefully will be the wake-up call for the world to say, okay, we're never ever going down that road again, and there'll be probably laws brought in to say that this never ever happens again. But look, I'm going to go off to the questions, because I have a few questions here for you. And the first question is Peter from Australia. Good evening, Peter. It's probably early in the morning there, silly o'clock. He said, a question: would an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, damage you or kill you if you had graphene in your body along with much iron? I have seen toolboxes and steel chairs get sucked into the MRI donut. There are videos out there showing this on YouTube.
Yes, well, he's bang on it, absolutely. And I have heard some reports, I mean, these aren't verified, but you can imagine if you have massive amount of iron and paramagnetic material and you go through a massive magnetic field, well, you know, I mean, anything could go wrong with that, anything. So I think, again, we already know that most of these testing procedures, MRI, CT scanning, where they inject you with fluid, including gadolinium, which is a heavy metal that they know causes cancer within 2 years, but hey, let's just use it anyhow. So I think that the more metal you've got, obviously, you are going to see, just like children getting myocarditis, they're getting inflammation of the heart and dying from graphene oxide and similar things, the reports are showing. So I think, yeah, Peter, you're bang on, mate. And you'd have to think twice or three times about wanting to have those kind of invasive tests if your iron content or your metal content's high.
Yeah, I think people, I mean, this is kind of 19th century medicine, really, to be honest with you. I mean, based on, you know, using the pain genie, I mean, again, you know, Richard, you know, I don't make money from your pain genie, and, you know, I don't sell or anything like that, but I was using it again this week, and I do use it on a regular basis, and, you know, it does what it says on the tin, so that's, what can I say? Okay, next question for you there. Bluebell wants to know, and now remember, Richard is not a medical doctor. We have to say that for legal reasons, but he will give his opinion on it. But he can't give you medical advice, just to let you know, just to, you know, get that over on the show. Can you ask Richard, ask him, I have a lump behind my ear and it's sore to touch. It seems like an infection.
And so he's the question is, you know, what could I do about it?
What do you think it might be? What do you think that might be?
Crikey, behind the ear. It depends on where behind the ear. I mean, as you just pointed out, Alan, I mean, anything I'm saying is just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we'd say that if anyone has any medical condition, they should consult their medical practitioner. And we're just giving our opinions on things. I mean, that's super difficult, really. There are some meridians that flow through there. I mean, usually, if he hasn't had an accident or fallen off or a horse or hit himself, then your lumps and bumps are typically the body trying to, you know, so if you've got spots, you've got cysts, you've got polyps. And if the body is getting toxic and can't deal with those toxins, it will often create a cyst or a boil or a spot to tie up the toxins in that area until it can get rid of it. But certainly with that situation, I mean, it is kind of pretty hard. I mean, certainly in Chinese medicine, the ears typically reflect the kidneys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for example, nose reflects the lungs, for example. So what I suggest you can do is if he goes to look at something like DuckDuckGo and do a search on Chinese meridians, look at the meridians, and I think he might get some help by looking what meridian and the associated health impacts and emotions are for that particular meridian. But you know, it's kind of a super hard one. It could be lots of things. But I think if he looks there a few hours, he might well be able to get a better handle on it.
Okay, no worries. All right, Joan has a question, and she just said, Richard, would it be good practice, properly done, that people get bloodletting done because it was practiced years ago?
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying, the research shows, especially for men, who are obviously apparently men they don't menstruate at the moment, but who knows, with transgender anything's possible. Giving blood 2 or 3 times a year actually has been shown to be quite positive for people, and especially for women who have gone through the menopause, maybe to give blood once a year or whatever, it's been shown to be helpful. So, you know, this is again about toxicity in the blood. But, you know, people really pay more attention. I mean, there's so many heavy metals now. There's so many toxins. You know, people are not sick, they're toxic. And iron has been very much just kind of brushed under the carpet. Bloodletting may well have been helpful in the old days, but it does seem that they were pretty, they could kind of do it for pretty much anything. And for example, a lot of the rich people actually died because they were given mercury. They thought mercury was going to help certain things, and certainly we know some of the top gentry died of being given mercury. So I think they may have had some good ideas, but a lot of it was still pretty bizarre.
Yeah, no worries. We actually have to get it politically correct. So even though men cannot menstruate, they have the right to menstruate.
That's perfect, Alan.
People's front to Judea and the Judeans people's front. Okay, Joan has another question for you. And she says, I hope I don't offend anyone. Don't worry, Joan. You know, with some people, when they get offended, when they wake up in the morning, their leg is off. It falls off. You know, they're offended. Oh, God, these snowflakes. No, I'm sure you won't offend anybody, John. Giving blood is dangerous, I believe, at the minute. You know, all this gender stuff being pushed down our throats, encouraging people to sleep with both men and women or whatever, is worrying if someone requires blood. Well, look, it's a concern anyway because of people getting the jab and everything that's going on. It's experimental. And if you're getting a blood transfusion and stuff like that, you're going to have to be very careful. Not just what Richard said about people sleeping with unvaxxed, sleeping with vaxxed, or doing jab, sleeping with jab, but getting blood transfusions and all that kind of stuff. So, so what's your take on the whole, you know, all this kind of cross-pollination, I suppose. Maybe that's what they want with the spike protein and everything else. They want people to do that.
Well, it's interesting, and just a quick one on blood transfusion. A friend of mine actually got in touch with a London hospital and said, what's your policy on actually people taking blood and giving blood based on COVID-19? And you can't believe this, Alan. Well, you can believe it, but the question came back from the blood bank was, we haven't really thought about that yet.
Oh, my God. Well, jeez.
Blow me down with, you know, I don't know if that's everywhere, but, well, as far as the transgender thing goes, I mean, I rather like Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet. He did 28,000 readings. I don't think he's ever been proved wrong. He went into trance. He did half of them roughly on health and things, and he did half of them roughly on different worlds, reincarnation, you know, incredible stuff. But he pointed out that when he expected to reincarnate back on this plane, he expected people to be hermaphrodite. Mm. In other words, having both sets of organs. So I think there's natural cycles. And, you know, this cycle, I mean, if we say this is unnatural, well, what do we mean by that? Because you could easily say it's natural, because if naturally people get lots of power, you know, power corrupts absolutely. If people get lots of power and too much money and they're unbalanced, maybe that's why they're there, then isn't it a natural occurrence that they could end up destroying most things, or maybe themselves as well? Maybe that's how we go from a sort of carbon, sulfur, organic-based soul life form to a silicon AI life form. But who's to say that we are not a product of that already? I mean, who's to say that? Mm. I mean, how do we know that our DNA was not produced in some sort of supercomputer back on the planet Zog in, you know, 15 billion years ago? We don't know that. We could just as likely be that way. And as an aside to that, I don't know whether your listeners have heard of a guy called Tom Campbell, but Tom Campbell wrote a book called My Big Toe. I do urge you to check him out. When you look at films like The Matrix, you know, and what Tom's saying, he's saying that this is already a virtual reality. We're living in it. And just like, what was that film? Avatar, wasn't it? And other things like that, you know, with The Matrix and things. So when you look at that, you could easily say that we're actually in the computer game and we're an avatar of some other life force enjoying or having experience. I mean, Tom says that if you accept that we're living in a virtual reality, all the understood laws of physics and biology and chemistry are solved straight away.
Yeah, so, listen, I totally agree with this. We're in this holographic universe, this program, and I spoke to, I had a guest on last year sometime. The scientist wrote 10 books, and we were talking about this quantum program and the holographic, you know, this program that we're in. Now, I have said this before on the show. There was a computer program years ago in the 90s called SimCity. I don't know if it's still around. I don't know if you remember that, Richard, but basically you
I do, because my daughter had it, yeah.
Yeah, remember, so you set up the city and you run it all and everything else. And I'm more and more looking at this kind of holographic world that we are in, this program. Now, you've got a background in technology, so you'll know what I mean when I talk about subroutines and programming. So every choice that we make, you know, we think we have free will, but depending on where we are will depend on the choices that we can make. So if you're in your house, there's certain choices you can make. If you're away in business, there's certain choices you can make. And we define this as free will. But what if all them choices were predefined as a subroutine? And, you know, because when you use flowcharts, when you're a computer analyst, you work out a flowchart of a program and does it do this, yes or no, and then it goes on. So if we are in this holographic program where we think we have free will, but they're just subroutines given the choice depending on where we are, I mean, that's very, very advanced. So, and then somebody said to me also, they said, well, what if you're in the hospital bed or wherever you are and your lifespan is finished, and when you close your eyes and you kind of go asleep, then all of a sudden somebody just takes a pair of VR glasses off your face and you go, Jesus, that was some ride, that was some program. And you're, it's like, again, Avatar.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, that my favourite one, I think this could be bang on, you know, for those Trekkies or followers of Star Trek, the later ones had the Starship Enterprise or whatever the name of the thing was called. They had a whole deck on the ship, a massive deck, which they called the holodeck. And the holodeck was basically an empty metal deck, huge, you know, many, many acres on the starship. And they come down for their, you know, once a month, or they have two or three days, they have a chance to relax or do nothing or go on to have an experience. And so there was a great one where there was three or four of them, including Captain Kirk and the rest of them. They come down, they're dressed in their kind of starship uniforms. They come on the holodeck, which is then suddenly, you know, it's just metal and nothing there. The guy flicks a switch, and using like 5G technology, which is how they're making dragons appear out of the sky and things they've already done with 5G, suddenly they end up in this virtual reality wearing different clothes. And the one I liked was suddenly they were back in 1620 in England, and they had horses and swords. And the next minute they're attacked by, you know, a horde of guys with swords and pickaxes and axes, and they're fighting for their lives. Now, to start with, they know it's a reality and they're having a bit of fun. But the next day they wake up in a mud hut somewhere, and then the next day and the next day, and suddenly they've actually forgotten, because it's so real, they've forgotten that it's not real. And then there's a great bit at the end where they've supposedly been there for sort of like 2 weeks, and they've only been there for like 2 days or something, where they're fighting, and I think it's Spock or the captain or something, he gets thrust through by a sword, and he goes, oh my god, oh, and he drops down with blood oozing out of his chest. And suddenly there's a flash, the lights go off, he's back in his starship uniform, and he's going, oh my god, that was, oh jeepers man, that was just real.
Yeah.
You know? And so, hey, why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting talking about this. Now, a listener, Danny, was telling me a story of Stuart Stridlow. Now, Stuart was on OIM, and we actually interviewed him in Dublin Airport on video. And apparently he was telling me a story that Stuart Stridlow was speaking to this guy from NASA or one of these places. And they pulled into this cafe and he had a coffee and had a chat. And then he got in the car and drove down the road. And the guy said to Stuart, look back. And he looked back and the place had gone. He said, you've just been in a holographic place like on Star Trek. Now, we know that they say that they have anything you can think of, they have the technology to do. So, you know, replicators and stuff like that. So I'm sure they have that technology. The med beds the same. They have the med beds there, but they're not going to give us them. Well, not yet anyway, because obviously they're keeping them for themselves. But I just have a message here from the captain on PIR, and he says that, have you seen that vid where they turned on a 5G mast and a huge donut circle of graphene gathered around it and began to spin about 30 or 40 feet wide? I haven't seen the video, but that looks interesting.
Yeah, I think that was that in Holland?
I don't know.
I think I have seen something similar. What I did see, which was even more powerful, was, and this was going back about 15 years, and it was in, I think it was Berlin, and it was a video on YouTube And all these people were congregating around a kind of big square which had nothing in it. They had a small rope barrier about 3 foot tall around it, but it was a big square, I mean, really big. And there must have been 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 people around it. And suddenly there was a someone said, okay, and now the show's going to begin. Everyone went quiet. And in the middle of the square, which is empty, suddenly this massive house appears, a huge old house. And then suddenly all the windows turn into glass and you see that the house is actually an aquarium with fish swimming in it. You can hear gasps of amazement from the audience, yeah, as fish jump out at the top and back into it. Mm. You see then the whole place dissolve and it just dissolves from one thing to another in real time with sound, yeah, full sound, everything. Mm. And then just disappears after about 10, 15 minutes. And people just like can't believe it. They're sort of spellbound. Well, this was 15 years ago. So, again, you know, you've got Project Bluebeam, you've got Looking Glass technology, you've got all these hidden black operation projects where trillions of dollars have gone into. Who's to say that, you know, if that happened 2005, well, they probably had that technology for, I don't know, Alan, how long? 50 years, 100 years?
Oh, they've had it. Well, they had crafts, believe it or not, advanced crafts in the 30s, 20s and 30s.
Yeah. And again, you look at the Vedas. I mean, they depict flying craft, different things. They talk about plasma weapons. If you look at the Egyptian, you know, the cartouches and all the drawings, it's obvious they have some sort of energy weapons or beams or energy replicators or, you know, that type of thing. And look at the ancients. I mean, we know they were using ormus. They were using monatomics. Mm. So for them to be using monatomic gold or monatomic anything, or orbitally rearrange monatomic elements for health and healing, turning the body into superconductors, then they must have had way advanced technologies. And, you know, people like Max Eigen now and many other people are pointing out Tartaria, you know, buildings from 300 years ago that were just incredible. You know, they only invented the first power tool in 1895. How did they build these buildings 300-400 years ago when we couldn't probably build them now? And, you know, once you start looking into this, you just get beyond the bit of sort of self-doubt and have I gone completely nuts? Because we know ancient history has obviously been completely rewritten. But when you look at recent history, you start to think, I mean, am I going too far with this? But actually you're not, because you've got to explain it somehow. And, well, and they had obviously got amazing technologies.
Yeah, well, the archaeologists are obviously funded by the educational groups and societies. And obviously anything that goes against the dogma that they find has to be hidden or destroyed, because obviously we can't have that, can we? So the amount of information that has probably been hidden from the people, the public. I mean, look at Michael Tellinger, the footprints he finds in the actual stones, you know, which are huge. And then these steps that you are massive steps. And then you have the joints in... what's the place over in the Far East?
You mean Easter Island and stuff?
Well, no, actual physical live joints, Kandahar, the joints of Kandahar, where the military have gone in and killed one and they have the body. And this guy is probably about, I don't know, 12, 15 feet with red hair. He's 15 feet tall with red hair. And he spiked one of the men and they had to get a helicopter to lift him up. So, yeah, the joints of Kandahar. So there's so many things out there that we are not aware of. But I've got another question for you. And Steve from OAM wants to know, what are Richard's thoughts on the use of cannabis for pain, etc., and also for expanding one's mind?
Well, I've seen a lot of people using it. And what I think probably like a lot of amazing herbs, it is an amazing herb. I have a system that... I know I demoed to you, Alan, the Tesla health system and things like that, that often suggest that, you know, cannabis sativa and different types of cannabis are really good for solving multiple problems. And, you know, I think it was done right. I mean, especially we know, for example, many studies that have shown lung cancer, 21 days of suppositories, as long as they're done properly. So this is, you know, the oil produced naturally without any additives or nasties. Many people, 21 days of suppositories, lung cancer gone. Well, you know, is that just by chance? I don't think so. In other words, we know that a lot of these herbs are super powerful. So I think cannabis is super powerful, and there's a difference between smoking it, obviously, and using it, because obviously you make the oil, it's a class A. And but what we do know is that Theresa May's husband has got the only license in the UK to make class A cannabis into oil and sell it pretty much worldwide. Isn't that interesting?
That's quite convenient. But I heard that because we have the synthetic cannabis out there, because they know eventually they're going to have to make it legal. So obviously Big Pharma and everything else are getting in to make a synthetic version. And somebody said to me, unless you have a strain from the 60s or 70s, then all the other strains down the road are useless, because obviously what happens is when you send it over to countries, it has to go through customs, it has to go through the machines to radiate, and they get radiated, which means any food or any organic food going through the customs machines to be checked, they're getting radiated because they're being scanned. So you really need to get back to the core and the pure of the actual the seed, if you can get it, which is going to be very difficult to get.
I think with that, people should look at scalar wave technology, pyramid technology, because my research shows, we do build our own pyramids for healing and things, but the research shows that if you take, GM-modified seeds, for example, and they're put into the right structured pyramid at the right height, within a certain period of time, which I think is a few weeks, it will return to heirloom. In other words, the pyramid energy is bringing down like a field effect that is changing that seed, because it's been modified beyond what perhaps, say, the creator would have wanted, and it's returning to its normal state. Now, I know who's the guy? Is it Wilcox?
Wilcox.
Now, I mean, I've seen a lot of Wilcox and Ben Fulford saying things that never happened, and so I'm like, massive question marks there, has to be there, but. Wilcox did write a book called The Truth Field Investigations, and although some of the stuff I couldn't find research that backed it up, some is backed up, and certainly the pyramid stuff is backed up, and many studies, for example, one was where they deliberately bred the eyes out of fruit flies. I mean, why on earth they would do that? I haven't got a clue, but they did it. And they bred the eyes out of fruit flies. I mean, they don't live very long, so it can be done very quickly. But what they then found was, when they were then left after they were modified, within seven generations, they grew the eyes back. So that what that's saying is when they're not toxified or the field is negative, in other words, the epigenetic 3G, 4G, 5G food, etc., is back to what it should be, they pick up the signal via their DNA, which is what we do, and they regenerate back to the original template. So I think there's, and I would be amazed if the powers that be don't know. I mean, they must know this stuff.
I'd say they do, because we have to have, surely. I mean, I say that to people, when you cut your hand, the body knows what the original skin looked like before it was cut. So we have a bias, a default bias setting for our body, which is healthy. And maybe this is the same thing with the flies.
No, I think so. I think there's a template that obviously can be modified and changed. Mm. But, if the signal is strong enough, the original signal gets through. Hence, you can look at chemtrails and what would that do to the signal coming through, for example. Mm. It would certainly affect it, because they're putting aluminium and barium and strontium, and that's going to reflect a lot of stuff or stop it coming through. And so that, again, is going to stop our DNA resonating and getting the full field effect of what's coming from the galactic core.
Well, okay. Another question for you. John wants to know, I remember asking a question of someone on OAM where were we living in a dome like in The Simpsons? They said yes. Does Richard believe it is so as well? Not so much flat earth, though, maybe he is. But what's your thoughts on the whole dome idea? Because, if we analyze this and look into it, so you have this agreement with all countries around the world that you can't go beyond certain parts of the Arctic, Antarctic, and so do we have this kind of, does this belief that we have this, we're surrounded by this kind of snow, you know, a body of snow or body of mountains that are like the Antarctic, and beyond that, there's loads of talk of things that are beyond that. And more information is kind of coming out regarding this and why a lot of people are down in the Antarctic anyway, or a lot of government bodies are down there. They're finding things down there in the Antarctic. So maybe there's something behind it rather than just, some people might think that it's just silly and woo-woo, but, and I'm not saying about flat Earth, but I mean, this kind of a total agreement with all countries not to go beyond this wall seems to be something sinister.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just read that into the fact that we've been lied to on so many fronts. I mean, you know, so many fronts. 160-odd countries signed up to population reduction and culling in 1970s or 80s. I can't remember exactly when it was. If Antarctica is a super interesting place. Have you heard of someone called Cliff High?
Yeah, Cliff High. I was listening to the Sabotage and Wotage video that he did recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some very good interviews on something Borealis. I can't remember the exact name. It's Borealis on YouTube. I recommend people listen to that. It's two or three parts, about 4 or 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Certainly some good insights. Then, of course, we've got Hollywood, which is, of course, run. We've got The Matrix. We've got The Truman Show. Mm-hmm. Everyone remembers The Truman Show, I think, you know, where he tries to get out and everyone else is an actor and he's not. And then he hits the side and finds the firmament or something similar. But certainly I wouldn't be at all surprised. I try not to get in, although I do research it. But I'm kind of sitting on the fence in a way because I don't know enough. I've listened to probably thousands of hours of other people. I certainly listened to John Irwin. Now, I know, Alan, you know John. He's been on your show.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend of mine. I talk to John quite a lot. And all I can say is that I think most of what he's told me has way in advance of it happening has been right. And I think that it would be really good for you to get John back on because although I've talked to him at great length, I don't know because John's told me a lot of things. He said some things that you shouldn't tell him, you shouldn't talk about. And so I don't want to upset John, that's for sure. Yeah. So rather than say exactly what I think, because some of it comes from John, I suggest you could get John back on. That would be super interesting because, you know, he was reprogrammed and trained in 1957 to as an assassin to kill Nephilim bloodlines on this planet. Mm. And he's told me a lot of information that later on has been found to be correct. And certainly out of interest, I believe a lot of the technology that John was reprogrammed with was advanced frequency devices. And you can see now, I think, I can't remember, but I saw something recently where someone was saying, well, very soon we have all these, you know, patents. I mean, Bill Gates, the wonderful Bill and Melinda and at Microsoft have at least 2 or 3 patents of CBI interfaces, computer brain interfaces. I already have videos of brain cells growing onto computer chips. And I'm fairly sure that what John was reprogrammed with or trained with or interdimensional was done with him, assumedly probably by the White Hats or people of that ilk, is now being touted as, how to learn French in a day, how to learn English, you know, in a day.
Yeah.
In other words, you get some sort of headset, you put it on, and it does a frequency job and it imprints that information, just like you might imprint a homeopathic or an energy solution, into the brain. And I think that's probably the same technology that they use on John 60, 70 years ago, whenever.
Yeah, no, I asked John to come on the show, but he wants to Just do get on and do what he needs to do without being in the public eye. So I might just ask him again. That was probably last year. He might change his mind. I might say to him, because he has some great information. For people who are don't know about John Irwin, he doesn't like being called a super soldier. But if you read his book, The 16, I got a copy of his book. The book was brilliant, very good read, and it talks about what he went through and in his training, which is, you know, he calls the SAS a bunch of girl guides compared to what he went through. So that gives you some idea of the training that he's done. And he's a very even though he's the age he is, probably in his 80s now, I think, Richard, you still wouldn't mess with him, sure you wouldn't.
Well, I mean, he's 83 now. All I can say, I mean, I've seen what he can do. And I can tell you that, you know, if you put 10 of the best commandos in the world, the best ones ever, with John, none of them would be around after about 20 seconds.
Yeah, he's incredible. I'd love to see it. No, he did.
And it wouldn't matter whether he's 103 or, you know, or his current age, because he's just not... he's just not normal, man.
Yeah. Well, he did actually invite when I did speak to John. It was on OIM, and he did invite me and Steve over to Newcastle, where he is, for a weekend. And we said, yeah, we'd love to get over. And you know, before he passes over, it would be great to meet him at least, because I know he's a pilot as well. So he's big on talking about what's going on a celestial level and on a global level on the planet. And his background as well, so it's quite interesting. So what's your plans for the future now, Richard, with everything going on? Because I just have a feeling that your workload, or the people that's going to be contacting you now with all the damage that's going to be caused over this period of time, maybe 6 months to a year, is going to escalate. Plus the fact that you travel over. So have you to do that PCR test when you travel over?
No, I don't, because I go to Northern Ireland and travel through anyhow. That's part of the UK. There's no border, and I would not do a PCR test ever. Polymerase chain reaction, 99% false positive, and also sticks hydrogel up your nose. So I'm not going to be anywhere going near that. But there are other tests that are around, the spit tests if people do want to travel. So I think. There are many ways of, it's like they make a new note and there's a counterfeiter. He makes a copy and no one knows it, and then they stop him doing it. And so I think, you know, with good people, they're always one step ahead. And so if people really want to travel without going through all those things, I'm quite sure there's many ways of doing it.
Yeah, no, I think the antigen test. I mean, what do you think of that? You've heard about the antigen test. Is that a better way? And I think they said it will actually give you an answer in 20 minutes. But that's a blood test, I think.
Yeah, I mean, all the children back in Birmingham recently have been given these spit tests that you basically you do it, and I think you get an answer very, very quickly again. We obviously know. We don't need to be told by we've had so many people telling, you know, about even Carrie Mullis, who headed the PCR, about you can never use it for diagnosis, all the madness with it. So I think that these other type of tests are far less invasive. They can't get anything into your body by doing it. I guess the only issue is that once you've done one, you know, you are going to be on a database somewhere. But I think there's the spit test, antigen test, probably a good idea. If you want to travel, I haven't heard anything negative about it so far.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Again, I wouldn't be doing the PCR test if I was doing traveling, because just to say that again, the chemical that's on the PCR test, that's I think it's carcinogenic, is it?
Well, first of all, you've got ethylene oxide actually sprayed onto the masks, which is a known class 2A carcinogen. The swabs, we know there are black fibres. Even people quite close to me have taken out kids' microscopes and looked at them under the microscope and seen them there. We know that when they get together with a power source, which is our body, they start moving and start joining together. So, in other words, creating a sort of Borg-like subframe for the human body, which then can interface. And we know that there's quite a few reports now of people saying that their phones are trying to connect with their bodies. In other words, it sees their body as a sort of transmission source and is trying to connect. So this could well be, I mean, as you just said earlier on, they could be putting certain batches out with this stuff in to see what happens, because it's an experiment, and certain, you know, just so they can learn enough, then how they're going to take it forward.
Yeah, that's concerning. And have you seen this magnetic test? Because there's a lot of people saying that, oh, they're just winding us up and it's a scam. And have you seen actually people being affected and having things stick to them?
Yeah, I was with someone the other day in Glastonbury, actually, who was talking about their mother, and she'd had the second jab, and they'd heard about this, and they were sticking spoons to her. And I mean, she, you know, I know her quite well. And she was saying things were sticking to her and, you know, crazy stuff. So, but hey, I mean, but that would definitely make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose it would do. I mean, I'd like to see it myself, to be honest with you, just so I can I can see it and go, I've seen it, you know. But Richard, we've reached that time. A big thank you for coming on and doing a part two with me and talking about everything that we talked about. I'm hoping listeners, you know, gain some information from what we discussed going forward. And so would you like to give out all your details as to where people can find you and obviously what you offer, treatments and stuff like that, and what your plans are for the near future with everything going on?
Yes, I mean, the one website is paingenie.com, obviously. There's also a website called healthgenius.info. That one, by the way, we after we put the name together, we kind of realized that people might think that we were trying to be promote ourselves as geniuses, and it wasn't, that we were just talking about the genius of simple health. But there's a healthgenius.info, there's 21stcenturyenergymedicine.com, and other small ones, but paingenie.com would be the main one. And we do try and help people. We can do remote scanning and different things with radionics. We do house visits, depending on what happens. We try and give people good information. Obviously, we try to keep ahead of the wave. And my email would be, the best one would be richard@paingenie.com.
Fantastic. I still want to do a show with you again. We did one years ago, and I'd like to do one again with you. And if Clive was available as well, so we'd have the two of you there, and just kind of stick two fingers up to the man, as they say, and, you know, say to people, yeah, if you don't have to wear a mask, and if you're unvaccinated, all the better. We're not going to do the opposite to the people who are being vaccinated, but, you know, it's obviously good to social distance just in case there are a few vaccinated people there. So maybe that's something that we'll have to organise with everything going on. I think that would be a good thing to do. But again, Richard, thanks for coming on the show, much appreciated. Just stay with me there and I'll go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Okay, folks, that was Richard Cumbers. Always great to have Richard on the show. That was part two with Richard. I'm sure we'll do a part three. Great guy, great information. And it's just, you know, to me, every day I think about, you know what, I really, really don't want to go near this 19th century medicine with the hospitals. That's the things that are going on. It's just try and stay away as much as you can. And if you can do it naturally, all the better. You know, I know it's very difficult, but, you know, try and speak to people and share information. I think that's just the way we're going to have to go until all this gets sorted and maybe the med beds come out. I don't know. We'll see what happens anyway. But I do want to mention a couple of things. One of them is, there's talk about this guy in Canada, in Alberta, called Patrick King. And everybody's gone around and saying, oh, we won the case and everything else and in court and, you know, and he was fined and the health minister couldn't prove that the virus didn't exist and all this kind of stuff. Well, apparently it's been proven wrong that that wasn't the case. It's all fake. And we have to be careful as the alternative media or the new media. what we put out there, and we need to do our research and we need to check it, because this is exactly how they catch us out. You get some shills out there who'll start pushing this information out. They'll, you know, memes as well. I normally say to people when they put a meme up on Facebook, I normally say, well, do you have the original link of where it said? Rather than say the CDC or the FDA or the HSE said this, and it's in a meme and there's no link to it. And you think, well, anybody could say that. Show us the original source. Post the link up from the original source. So when you do that, people can click on it and it validates the information you put out there, rather than doing it as a meme or passing it on for somebody else, because that brings down the effect of what we're trying to do when it's proven that what we've put out there is wrong. So just something to bear in mind. Now, there is a link. If anybody wants, I'll send it over to you, where the guy was interviewed and goes, no, that went out there and it's all wrong. People got it wrong. I didn't win the case. So, but if people want that link, just email me, contact us at circlewhitelight.com, and I'll send you over the link there. You can have it. So just be aware of that. Just be very careful with that. The other thing is, we talked about Cliff High. Now, Cliff High was somebody that I've interviewed a couple of times on OIM. And basically, the Cliff White talked about, I've asked Cliff to come on the show, by the way, but his wife's not well, so it's a bit difficult at the moment. But he talks about, there's a video that Emma from the PIF team posted up, which is very good, the difference between sabotage and wotage. And sabotage was something that happened in the Industrial Revolution, where sabot was the wooden shoes that they were wearing. And what they did was they took these wooden shoes and they threw them up on the conveyor belts to break the conveyor belts, to sabotage, to tage the conveyor belts, to damage them, to stop it, because they were protesting. And so at that time in the Industrial Revolution, it was called sabotage, because they used the sabot shoes to tage the actual belts. But we are in a time of wotage. And wotage, what's happening with wotage is that the vaccines are coming out of the pharmaceutical companies and they're being intercepted along the way. And the vials are the actual syringes. They are the chemical in them, the vaccine that's in them, or this experimental drug that's in them, is being taken out and substituted for saline and water, and then packaged up again and then sent on their way. And he said, this is their industrial revolution, which is called wotage. And this is happening. Now, I've also seen on video in Spain, medical practitioners, because medical practitioners are kind of saying, look, I have to work, I disagree with this, but I have to work to pay my mortgage. So what they're doing is they're injecting the people, but they're not plunging the syringe, and they're taking the syringe out and throwing it in the bin. So the vaccine is actually not going into the person. And I seen that on video, and I said, okay, this is what they're doing to get around it. So they disagree with what this medical procedure with the syringe, so they're not plunging the syringe and putting the vaccine in, which is brilliant. So if you can imagine the wotage going on and this going on with medical practitioners, this is brilliant. So go to YouTube and type in Cliff High and look for the wotage video, and he goes into detail about it. It's only about 10 minutes or so, but it's very interesting. So check that out and see what you think. So what else is on the list? Right. The other thing I mentioned at the start of the show, for the people that were not aware, was I said that I went down to Costa Fortune, or Costa Coffee, but I got to call it Costa Fortune, down in Navan to meet somebody for a coffee during the week, and they wanted my papers. And if I didn't have my papers, then all they would do is they'd sell me the coffee, because my money is good as everybody else, but they wouldn't let me sit down in the seating area. So I said to the girl, because she was only doing a job, I could see that she was kind of annoyed, she didn't agree with it. And I said to her, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be giving you some advertising on my radio show on Sunday, but it's not the kind of advertising you like. So folks, if you want to boycott one company, Costa Coffee, not just in Navan, but Costa Coffee, because they actually agree with medical apartheid because they're asking for the actual passports, the COVID passports. Now, they said you can buy a coffee, apparently, but you can't sit down. I'm sorry, if you're not going to let me sit down, I'm not going to give you my business. Tough. That's the way it is. And I found a different coffee shop that were very understanding, and we could sit down and have a coffee and had a chat, which is great. And I gave them my business. So there you go. So just to so if you're going to boycott anything, we need to be boycotting these companies that are pushing the medical apartheid, because any form of discrimination, I don't care what excuse you come out with or some justification, it's apartheid, it's discrimination, and it's uncalled for. And there's no way we should be doing it in this day and age. I thought we learned from this in World War II, but obviously we didn't. So, folks, that's what you need to do. You need to boycott Costa Coffee or Costa Fortune. That's one of the companies. And one of the things I got in Jordan Reek, actually, does a TV show. People on the chat room are talking about TV shows. The TV show I actually like is a TV show called Medium. And it's based on a spiritual medium called Alison Dubois. Now, I've actually emailed Alison Dubois, the real Alison Dubois, and I've asked her to come on the show. And her people said, well, she is busy, she's got three kids and all that kind of stuff. And I said, fair enough, it'd be great if she came on, and it'd be fantastic to have her on the show. And I left that out there, and I let the universe deal with that one. But I went and got the box set of Medium, because it's on CBS at night time, but you have to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that just does not suit me. So because I like the program, and I am, you know, I was involved in the spiritual side, I got the box set of Medium, so I'm actually binging that at the moment, because I like all that kind of stuff anyway. The spiritual side is quite interesting, and it's based on an actual character. And if you go to YouTube and type in Alison Dubois, you'll actually see her in real life doing readings to audiences and stuff like that. So and quite interesting, as I say. Now, do you have to, you know, do you have to adapt her information for TV? But basically, she worked with the police and helping them with certain cold cases and stuff like that. So it's quite interesting if you like that sort of thing. And I'm just reading the chat room there. What's being said about... Starbucks. Okay, is Starbucks another company? Are they another company that are doing it as well? Let's see. I'm just having a look in the chat room to see. Starbucks, no surprise there. Globalists, okay. So other companies. It seems to be the corporate companies that are following this, where the mom and pop coffee shops may be kind of okay. Maybe. I don't know. You have to go in and ask, you know. So there you go, folks. Thanks again to everybody tuning in and taking 2 hours of your time on Sunday evening to listen to the show. That's much appreciated. Thanks for all your interaction on the chat room. I'm not too sure who's up. The PIR stream is still down. I think Barry Prince might be up, but he's on a different radio stream. I'm not too sure what that is. We're going to try and... I've been in touch with Vin on PIR, and we're going to try and sort to Jordan Reek, because having the stream up is good for PIR. It's good for all of us and everybody else who wants to use it. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Next week's show... Oh, let me tell you who's on next week's show. Right, next week's show, I have a doctor on, Dr. Carrie Maggi. M-A-D-E-J. I'm not too sure how she pronounces that. I have to find out. But I have a doctor on the show, and she specialises in vaccines and nanotechnology. So that's going to be very interesting to talk to Dr. Carrie. So tune in next week if you have the time. Have a good week. Stay safe. Keep your energy high, folks. It's the Lion's Gate. It's affecting you. But just relax. And after a few days, it's going to pass, okay? But keep your energy positive, because, you know, these things have to happen to wake people up. And we're along for the ride, and we're observers. We're just watching everything. So take it in your stride and vibe with your own tribe. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com. focusing on solutions and thinking different.